Last week we started a new series called Tips for Staying Together. Recent reports out of China, I don't know if you've paid attention or not, but recent reports out of China are telling us that marriages are crumbling. That after 2 months of isolation that they've had a spike in domestic violence and high numbers of divorce filings. Households have turned into war zones in China. They're fighting over money, the same stuff we fight over. They're fighting over screen time, how much screen time each other's being on their phone, who's doing the housework, who's caring for the children. There's not enough sharing in that. One lady charged her husband with getting the children all riled up at night when it's time for them to be in bed. She's so angry with him that they've agreed that they're going to get a divorce because of this. She said, "He's the troublemaker in the house. I'm not going to endure this anymore." Well, one divorce lawyer in China, he said that normally infidelity is the reason he gets people to come to his office and file for divorce. He says, not the case anymore. And I'll quote this one. He said, "The more time they spent together, the more they hate each other." How sad is that? Now contrast that with John and Linda. We were socializing, social distancing, that is, on his porch the other night, and this came up about China, and John said, he said, "I don't understand. I love being at home with Linda. I don't understand that." Now, we can analyze their relationship and try to figure out how they're different and all of that, but the reality is, the reason he feels that way is because he has Jesus in his life. John and Linda, we know, aren't perfect people, and we can all say amen to that. Their health isn't always perfect. They don't live in a mansion. John and Linda, you guys are perfect, right? They don't live in a mansion with a bunch of toys, but here they are, choosing to love each other and enjoying their time together with him being at home. What's the difference? The difference is they have Jesus in their life. They've learned how to have a relationship from Jesus. Imperfect people loving one another, enjoying their more time together. So today we're going to talk about our tip for staying together, and that is this: drag your feet. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of dragging your feet that your mother always told you to quit doing. But in the coming weeks, if you'll let this one sink in, it could save your marriage. It could save your relationship with your kids. It could save your relationship with God. Drag your feet. Now, instead of dragging your feet like your mama was talking about, I'm going to talk to you about dragging your feet like Jesus did. Palm Sunday, that's what today is. Palm Sunday is the day that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus went into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, but this time he knew that he was going to be the sacrificial lamb. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and hundreds of people knew he was coming. They had seen him do miracles, they had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead, and they heard his great teachings. They were excited about him coming, but more than that, they wanted to make him their king. So they started creating a makeshift parade for Jesus to welcome their king into the town. And they were trying to communicate also to the leadership, the Romans, that they have a new king and he's going to lead them on to victory. So they started breaking off palm tree branches, and they prepared themselves for this massive march into town, the entrance of their king, Jesus. And they lined the streets for Jesus to walk down the street with him celebrating and waving the palm branches to him. But before entering Jerusalem, Jesus knew that this was about to happen. And he told two of his disciples to go to a nearby village, and as soon as they would enter the village, they would see there a young donkey, a colt that would be tethered there, one that's never been ridden. And he gave them instructions that if someone were to ask him what they were doing, they were to tell them something specific. So sure enough, they walk to the edge of town, and there's someone, not just someone, there is a donkey with somebody, but it's the owner of the donkey that's there. They walked up to him and said the magic words. They said what Jesus said to do. The Lord needs it. And the owner was like, okay. I'm sure they looked at each other, kind of in shock that this actually worked. Well, bringing the colt to Jesus, they threw their coats on it and helped Jesus get on. I can't imagine what that moment looked like. The two disciples there and whatever other disciples were there thinking, why is he doing this? This is embarrassing. This is going to be a huge moment for us to be able to walk into Jerusalem, and he's getting on this little donkey, not just a donkey, but a little donkey that's never even been ridden. So they threw their coats on it, propped Jesus up on it, and I'm sure they had to be laughing under their breath. This is one of those big prophetic moments, though. The prophet Zechariah spoke of this happening hundreds of years ago. He prophesied it hundreds of years before this actually happened. He wrote this, "Shout and cheer, daughter of Zion. Raise the roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right, a humble king riding a donkey, a mere colt of a donkey." He's saying, this is going to happen, and this was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus actually did it. Two things it says. He's a good king. He's a humble king. He's good, and he's humble. Well, Jesus could hear the people shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven." And we've heard it. We've heard them make songs of this, and they probably were singing it. We don't know. But they were shouting it, worshiping him as he came into town. They could sense that he was on his way, and you could hear as he gets closer and closer, you can imagine the crowd getting more excited about, oh my goodness, Jesus is coming into town. We're going to bring him in, and he's going to be our new king. Their anticipation of seeing him. The king is coming. And there he is, dragging his feet on the ground, riding a small donkey, a little colt. Jesus was communicating something. And it was something really big that he was communicating. This was no accident. This was a decision that had been prophesied that he would do this. And it says a lot about Jesus' leadership skills and his relationship skills. He was trying to communicate something really big that we can grab onto, and it will help us in our marriages, it will help us as parents, it will help us as friends, it will help us in our church. You see, there has never been and never will be one more powerful than Jesus who walked the planet with us. And instead of riding in on a beautiful stallion or a beautiful Clydesdale horse, he comes marching in on that, declaring how big and powerful and awesome he is. Jesus was dragging his feet, riding a donkey. And that's what we celebrate today. You see, Jesus wasn't coming looking for dictator power over you. He was and is looking for a relationship with people, with you. And he proved it that day. If your vision of success in your home, if your vision of success in your marriage, if your vision of success as a family or as parents, or even on your job, is that everyone around you is doing what you want them to do your way, you're going to fail. Proverbs 14:1 says this, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down." You know, we can say the same thing for a man. And the truth is, the biggest problems you have in your life are because you tore those things down. The wise woman builds her house. The wise person builds his house. The wise person builds his business. The wise person builds his relationships, but with their own hands, they tear them down. Now, we can blame everything on everybody else, but the reality is, God wants to give you the power to have in you the relationships that you want to have. And this is one of those big things that Jesus did to communicate how to stay together, how to have long-term relationships. And he came into town dragging his feet. I used to be a clean car Nazi. I had a problem. If there was a speck of stuff on the carpet, I'd pick it up. When the kids needed to get out of the car, it'd be, you better clean up after yourself. I still have to be careful of it. I used to be a horrible car Nazi, clean car Nazi, that is. And I would detail my cars so much, I had to let that go if I was going to keep my sanity as a father and husband with four kids. I had to let it go so that there could be some peace in my home. I had to drag my feet, so to speak. When Angela and I first got married, every Saturday, she would turn into the cleaning Nazi. And I just wanted to hang out. I wanted to go do something. I wanted to go outside and hang out and go to the store and look for stuff or whatever, just to enjoy ourselves. But she wanted to clean every Saturday. And this went on for a few years. I played clean house with her every Saturday without arguing. But and I'd let her know, you know, hey, we could be doing other things. But by this time, we had John Michael and Laura Ashley. And one day a week, we could finally relax. We spent it cleaning the house, even when it was actually clean already. This was something that was ingrained in her. So I asked her one day, why do we clean the house on Saturdays? And she said, well, growing up, that's what my parents did. It's just ingrained in me. So much so that if she isn't cleaning on Saturday, that she felt messed up. She felt like, you know, guys, if you've ever left your wallet or your phone at home or something, you know what that feels like. She would feel anxious, like she's missing out on what she's supposed to be doing in life. And she would get tense, and we'd have to start cleaning for her to feel comfortable about that. Well, I helped her get free of that, and now she doesn't clean anything. So, not really. You know my wife. Well, it took her a long time to let that go, and it took a lot of conversations where she could actually enjoy herself on Saturdays. You know, it's so hard for us to let go of things that we have learned, that have been ingrained in us, that keep us from having better and more relaxed relationships in our lives. And it's also easy for us to pretend that we have a great marriage. It's easy for us to pretend we have a great family, that we're great parents. You can post smiling selfies of you and your husband or wife all day long, every day, and look like you have an amazing marriage. You can make it look like you're sophisticated, happy, and that you're loving life. But as soon as the camera goes off, what is it really? Have you really been able to let your hair down and relax and enjoy your life with the people around you? Have you really been able to let go of the power that your flesh wants you to exude over people and just relax and drag your feet? Jesus riding into town on a donkey is one of the funniest stories in the history of mankind. God, the creator of the universe, gets on a donkey and drags his feet into town while people were hoping to raise him up as the King of Kings. You see, Jesus wasn't coming to rule. He was coming to relate. Jesus wasn't coming to look powerful. Imagine with me for a moment if Jesus had used his power to create a crystal palace. If Jesus had used his power to surround that crystal palace with the biggest, greatest army this world has ever seen, military. Imagine the size of that military, these big guys. If Jesus had used his power to exude that kind of force over us and control. But instead, Jesus used his power to heal people. Jesus used his power to help people with their lives. He could have used his power and authority for so many other things. But instead, he used it to help people with their problems and with their needs. And he used his power to establish relationship with people. In this time, while you're quarantined at home, Maybe you could take some time to help the people in your life. Fix a few things. Help your kids fix their cars if they've got cars. Or their computer. Or help them to download that new software. Whatever it is that your kid is struggling with, maybe it's time to go ahead and do that project. Repair that door lock that keeps them from having privacy at times. Maybe you can go detail your wife's car. Do things that matter to them. We're going to have an opportunity to fix up the church. Take some time to help us do that. Ladies, cut your husband's hair for them. Rub their feet, whatever your husband enjoys doing, be generous in meeting his needs. And guys, do the same for your wife. And maybe you're not married, but maybe you can do that for a neighbor. Maybe you can go shopping for somebody that needs that. Maybe you can go hunt down some toilet paper for them. Be a miracle worker for the people around you. Drag your feet. Humble yourself. Use your power for others' good. Use your knowledge and work it for their good. Instead of riding in to be a dictator in your home or in your neighborhood or at work, drag your feet. Ride in to be the answer to other people's problems. You've heard the idioms, go the extra mile. Give them the shirt off your back. Turn the other cheek. Well, all of these sayings were things that Jesus taught us. All of these things were things that came directly from Jesus. These are things that he was saying for us to do, not to our friends, not to our family, not to the people that we want in our lives. Jesus was saying these things to the people who are our enemies. Go the extra mile with your enemy. Give them the shirt off your back. Turn the other cheek. So if Jesus is saying that we need to be that for people that we don't even like, people that don't like us, people that would hurt us, if Jesus was saying that for those people, that that's how we treat them, what do you think he would say about how we treat our family, the people in our lives, our church? We've got to drag our feet. Jesus didn't come to be a political leader. He didn't come to relieve Israel from Romans' tight grip. Jesus didn't come to make Israel the ruling nation of the world. It was bigger than that. It was way better than that. Jesus came to have a relationship with people. He came to have a relationship with those who would accept him, to free us from the evil dictatorship of the evil one, the dark ruler of this world. Jesus came to free us. He came to have a relationship with us. And dragging his feet was his mission. Teaching us how to have relationships, that was his mission. Saving us from fighting for our own survival, that was his mission. God wants you to be so secure in your relationship with him that you don't have to fight for your own survival. Jesus entered the Passion Week dragging his feet. What was he saying? He was declaring that he is so big with so great of a mission that he didn't need them making him their king. He didn't need them doing that for him. He could afford to humbly ride in on a donkey, knowing that at this time, this very time, next Sunday, he would be raised from the dead with a new covenant for all of mankind. He was so confident in that he was able to ride in humbly on a donkey, dragging his feet. You need to begin believing that God's plan and God's purpose for your life is so big and so great that it doesn't matter who lifts you up and who puts you down. You're here to love and serve and care for. And drag your feet. Enjoy serving others. Enjoy taking care of others. You need to be so confident of your future that with God, all of your present struggles, all of this situation with the virus, these things aren't going to stop you. You're confident and you're secure in who you are in Christ. Be bold with that. Don't worry about yourself. Take care of others. Drag your feet. While everyone else is rummaging and scrounging for survival, you can ride in dragging your feet, not a care in the world, knowing that you're safe and secure with God. And when you live with that kind of security, it builds your relationships. The wrong people might hate you, as Jesus found, but the right people will love you. So I want to pray with you this morning. Let's ask God to fill our hearts with that peace, with that security, knowing that He's our God, knowing that He's our peace, knowing that He's our Maker, knowing that He has us in mind. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us how to have long-term relationships. That we don't come into our houses, we don't come into the workplace, we don't even come into our community ready to lead and take over. But Father, in servant leadership, we care for the people around us, we take care of their needs. You said, Jesus, that if we give a cup of water in someone else's, in your name to somebody, that we've done it for you. You said that if we show kindness, that we love, that we go visit, that we care for, anything that we've done for somebody else, we've actually done it for you. You take note of that. And so today, Father, we choose in the name of Jesus to be like you. Thank you for your example of humility, love, kindness. You're the creator of the universe. And if relationship was the greatest thing for you to go after so much that you were willing to endure the scorn and shame of the cross to have it, then Father, we need to pursue it with all of our hearts, a relationship with you and with others. So Father, I pray for the marriages that are represented right here, right now. I pray for peace in our homes as we serve one another. I pray for the children that are here right now, that God, your hand would be upon them to have peace in their hearts and lives as they serve their families, as they do what they're supposed to do. And God, pray for those who are single today, that your hand would be upon them. Some of them want to be married. Some of them don't. Some of them are waiting for that right person, or some of them are waiting for this person to finally come to their realization. Whatever it is, God, give them the desires of their heart if it's good. But God, we trust you to lead them and guide them and bless them. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.